Some got hopes and dreams, we got ways and means. The supreme dream team, always up with a scheme. From hubcap to selling raps, name your theme. I'ma rise to the top, floating on the screen. Who the hell wanna stop me? I hated those who got me. A million refugees with unlimited warranties. Black Caesar, dating top divas. Diplomat immunities, no time for a visa. It just begun, I'ma shoot them one by one. Got five sides to me, something like a pentagon. Strike with the forces of King Solomon. Letting bygone be bygone and so on and so on. I'ma teach these cats how to live in the ghetto. Keeping it retro, expect it from the get-go. Lay low, let my mind shine like a halo. For politics with ghetto senators on the D-Lo.
Send it off behind closed doors, hitting truth to the sea floor. The rich don't know, ignore the tug of war while the kids are poor. Open new and better drugstores, so I became hardcore. Couldn't take it no more. I'ma reveal everything, change the law. I find myself walking the streets, trying to find what's really going on in the streets.
Now every dog got his day. Needless to say, when the chief away, that's when the cats wanna play. I told you, dance around you fools like Cassius Clay. Stretch my heat and make you do a pot of beret. Kick your balls like Pele, think I'm doing ballet. Peak like Dante, broader than Broadway. Get applause like a matador, cry yelling ole. Who the hell wanna say me from BK to Calais?
Come on,
when you thought it was safe in a common place. Showcase your finances, lose a bass on the horse race. Two phase, getting D-phase out like Scarface. For your roll money, let me put on my screw face.
And I'm paranoid at the things I say, wondering what's the penalty from day to day. I'm hanging out partying with girls that never die. The CEO's picking on the small fries, my campaign telling lies. I was just spreading my love, didn't know my love was the one holding the gun in the glove. Well, this all good as long as it's understood. It's all together now in the hood.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. It's important to acknowledge that every time we get on the air here at UBC. If you've never listened to the show before, what we like to talk about is a little bit of pop culture, a little bit of politics, some funny stories, some sad stories sometimes. I like to bring the news to the people. And I'm up here bright and early, 7 o'clock every Thursday, just so I can do that for you all. This week, we have a lot to talk about, particularly because last week I was injured. And so I wasn't able to make it in. This week, however, is a new day. I'm back, healthy, ready to rock. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. I don't know if we have a lot of controversial topics today, but we do have a lot of things that I care deeply about. If you're new here, you know we like to start off with the local. We like to start off really with the local news. So here in British Columbia, we have really about 2 months of sunshine and 10 months of rain. However, that 2 months of sunshine makes the 10 months of rain 100% worth it. For the past, I would say in the last like 40 days, we've had like 32 sunny days. It's been amazing. And the weather will continue to be amazing. Today with a high of 22, tomorrow with a high of 23 and partially cloudy. But Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. One whole week of sunny weather that is nearly 26 degrees, which is pretty hot here, even though it's only like 80 something. But here, for some reason here, 25, 26 feels hot. I'll be going to Houston in a few weeks for work, and it's like 42 degrees there today. So I know that it's not actually hot, but feels that way. We have a lot going on here in Vancouver, particularly. We're still dealing with these forest fires here in British Columbia. It's a little different now that a lot of them have stopped burning, and people are being able to return back to their homes. And so what we're seeing is like what it looks like when someone goes back to the neighborhood and everything that they have to put back together. I don't know what I would do if my house burned down, because it's, when I think about a house burning down, it's similar to a flood, where it's just, it is what it is. Like, you have to come to this realization that this natural disaster has just happened to you, and it's passed. So it comes and it goes. And what are you going to do after that? How are you going to put all of your things back together? How are you going to reconcile your whole life? So whenever you see these firefighters out in the street taking donations for just for people rebuilding their house, and or you see, you know, a GoFundMe, or you see a donation for just for people who are really trying to put their lives back together, stop and think, and actually just think about like what you can do to help better the people around you. Far too often, one of my biggest pet peeves is far too often people feel like they have to travel to third world countries, or they feel like they have to travel to, you know, obscure parts of the world where they, to feel like they can do good, or to feel like they can make a change in the world. When in reality, you can start really with yourself and your own community. And I feel that here in British Columbia, you see the effects of these natural disasters all the time, from mudslides to, to just unfortunate things that happen to people, like that 13-year-old, that little 13-year-old girl that was killed in Burnaby, you know, from forest fires. We're going to get to this a little later, but I read that there was a fire in Hope in Kelowna that was intentionally spread and tried to make it look like it was a forest fire, which I have to say, like, if you're going to commit arson, is probably one of the smarter things you could do. However, but we see these things all the time. And so just to make sure that you are not projecting this false sense of like self-status, not lifting yourself up because you feel that you help people in third world, when in reality there are people who are in your community who live close to you who could use some help just as much. And so if you, like, I'm going to put this on the website, on my Facebook page. If you want to donate to help people on, and you don't really know how to do it, if you go on news.gov.bc.ca, or it's just British Columbian government news, you can see that there are a number of links from Canada Helps to the Salvation Army to United Way. You can even make a donation at the damn liquor store. So, like, I don't want to hear any excuses about I don't know where I can help and I don't know what I can do, or I, you know, only help starving kids or something like that, because there's people all around here that do need your help. We do talk about sad stories, particularly when we see stories about missing people. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I see a status about a missing person, or I see like a sign about a missing person, I just assume that that person is dead. I don't know if that's a reaction because, like, you know, I like to be real with myself and I like to be like a realist and understand that I'm a helpful person and I love giving back to the community and I love helping. But like when it comes to like looking for people who are missing, like that's not me. Like I don't know what it is about myself that makes me not want to do that. And I feel like writing those people off as dead is an easy way to like separate yourself from you know, holding yourself accountable for like being a part of the community search and like looking for these people. However, there was a story about a boy a few weeks ago who went missing in Stanley Park, and an 11-year-old boy who went missing near Second Beach. He was found in New West. The crazy story was that he was in Stanley Park, and he said he biked the entire way from Second Beach to New West, just looking for a place that he could call home. Now listen, like, that sounds crazy. It sounds crazy for a 11-year-old boy to say, like, I couldn't find a place to find home. But if you've ever been lost, or if you've ever lost someone, you know that it never feels, like, I'm sure he thought he had just ridden, like, a few kilometers. Like, I'm sure he didn't even realize how far he actually went, because when you're scared, you just go. I remember, must have been 13 or so. My little brother's 15, and he was 3. So, 13. Yeah, so it must have been about 13. Me and my friend, Elijah, we took his little brother to the mall, and we lost him. Literally, we lost a 3-year-old in the mall, and it might have been the scariest day of my life. Like so scary where me and Buddha, we went to Orange Julius and debated running away. We strategized. We sat down and we said, after looking for him for like 45 minutes, we're like, oh man, like, so are we gonna go home or not? We decided that best course of action was to obviously not go home, and we made a plan and we said, like, you know, like, what are the types of things that, like, what do we think that he is going to go to, like, as a 3-year-old, what is recognizable enough that like, he could make it to there by himself and feel safe, like, feel as if, like, this was a safe place to go. And I don't know what clicked. We were like, let's go to McDonald's. Like, that's what little kids know, the arches. And we walked down the hall, like the smallest 3 stories. And imagine Orange Julius is in the middle of the second floor. So we walked all the way to the end, down the escalator, to the food court, right to the McDonald's. And literally standing underneath the golden arches was his little brother. And I've never been so happy to see a snotty-faced kid in my entire life. So, like, I can understand. I can understand how these parents probably felt after they found that their kid was actually not dead. Because, honestly, even in that situation, as a 14-year-old, I was like, oh shit, man, I think he's dead. He had been gone like 30 minutes. I was like, bro, he's dead. I don't really know what to do. I don't really know. You know, we should go looking, because if that would happen, I would have been dead. I wouldn't be here talking to you on the radio about some of my experiences and my failures. Yeah, so thank you that boy was found all the way in New West from biking. I wonder what kind of bike he has. I'm sure that's feels like an incredible amount of hills. And it just seems weird that nobody would have stopped this 11-year-old boy and asked him, like, hey. But I guess when thinking about it, 11 years old is kind of old. Like, I coach Little League football, and my kids are 10 and 11 years old. And all of them have cell phones. Or they have the wherewithal to ask someone, hey, I need some help. But then this gets to me. Do kids even know cell phone numbers anymore? Do kids even know phone numbers anymore? Because I remember as growing up, as I'm sure a lot of you do, we had to remember phone numbers. Like, you had to remember your home number. You had to remember your parents' number. You had to remember your neighbor's number. You had to remember your grandparents' number. Those things are in memory. Like, I am sure there are at least 10 phone numbers from memory, or even from, like, hand memory, where my hand just knows exactly where to go, that I can remember from the top of my head. I feel like everybody has that. I remember my first girlfriend's phone number. I remember my best friend's phone numbers, all of the numbers that they had. We should call them. I should call one of those one day, just random. Just say, hey, you know, my best friend used to have his number. What's going on? Maybe you could be my new best friend. That's enough of that. When we get back, we'll be talking about a little bit about Donald Trump. We've given Donald Trump like a whole month off, and now we're about to bring it to him. And we'll be talking a little bit about this transgender ban and how I think it's a distraction.
Don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Don't let your old tech tools clog your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy. A watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
What is the ITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really, like, good, like, challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam Territory. Learn how to get involved at CITR.ca.
Places, man. real niggas take care. I'm just another show lost in the bowels of the cold world. It's a cold world. If you looking for my heart, ain't no hope, girl. I'm just a metal man lost in the desert sand, try to make a deal with the devil, man. Now I'm looking like a weirdo, stuck in his hell, watching as the years go. Where did my peers go? Now I'm crying tears, oh. And it hurts so much. I try to pass time, but it still slows up. In the city where we die, cause they kill so much. I've been at it since 16, and still no luck. But it's still all love. I just sell my drugs. I just do my time. I just do my crime. I just live my life until they spill my blood. Look above. What do you feel, nigga?
Try my best to pass time. And you didn't even notice it. No, you never noticed it.
Grind together so we can shine together and smile together. You hot like the weather, like sun and leather before. Like September, like December. And you know I'm always there for you. Call all my bitches off cause I care for you. You was my best friend, my little roadie. But now you got me feeling like a boogie. Yeah, it was like ninth grade when a nigga first met you. I was like, God damn, God don't really bless you. So I tried a thing, didn't think you were special, but nah. Years later, you're the only one special. It's crazy, didn't think those can fall in love. You don't wanna think about off any and drugs, yeah, yeah. You're my only one, yeah, yeah. You one of one, yeah, yeah. But I'm so confused, like what do I do? Tell me what do I do? First your papa didn't want me, now your mama too. When you broke it down, I was hoping that it wasn't true, yeah, yeah. Everybody said we wasn't gonna last. Let's not turn these haters' talks into some facts, So stop playing games, you gon' make me get back to my player ways, Let's ride together, grind together, so we can shine together and smile together. You hot like the weather, like sun and leather before. Like September, like December, and you know I'm always there for you. Call all my bitches off cause I care for you. You was my best friend, my little woadie. But now you got me feeling like a boogie. You hate the fact that I keep a gun on me, but knew that I can never let a nigga run on me. I mean run up on me, let him get one up on me. What happened to the girl that always left it up to me? It's me and you, not us and them. But you ain't hearing me cause you're hearing them. And you didn't fight for, I guess you was all fine with it. I made time for you, let you take your time with it. These buffies gon' call, I'ma sell them they lines. And whenever you call, I'm always there on time. So when you do call, time is money and you know that. So I'ma call you when I run through this whole pack. Robbing banks, Let's ride together, grind together, so we can shine together and smile together. You hot like the weather, like sun and leather before. Like September, like December, and you know I'm always there for you. Call all my bitches off cause I care for you. You was my best friend, my little woadie. But now you got me feeling like a boogie. Oh nah nah nah, nah. I'm TT right now.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487, 604-822-CITR. You are welcome to listen to previous episodes, and because this show is podcasted on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath, or you can find them on facebook.com/offthebeatenpath. So many ways you can listen to my voice. And if you'd like another way to listen to me talk, you can listen to me on Tuesday nights. I host a show with homeboy Jules, Jamal Steele's Horsepower, DJ Relly Rels on Tuesday nights from 9 to 11. That's Crimes and Treasons. Those are also podcasted. Here at CITR.ca, you'll be able to find all of that. This past week, we had DJ Flipout. And I don't know if you're familiar with DJ Flipout, but he had an amazing mix where he's mixing samples. He's going from like samples to songs that just came out and slowing them down. I was pretty impressed, even though, he's not new. And it's good. So check it out, this past week's episode. So before the break, we wanted to talk a little bit about Donald Trump's most recent transgressions. You know, it's really weird, and it's very interesting. It's 2017, and we are so fascinated with finding out our news, particularly our governmental news about politics and some of the changes that are being made. And we find them out from Twitter, not from White House correspondents or not from White House press secretary, not from the congressional press secretary, not from the speaker, not from any of that. We find it out straight from the president's thumbs. However small those thumbs might be, I wonder what kind of phone Donald Trump uses to tweet. Or does he speak into it and, like, yell at Siri? And if she gets it wrong, does he try to fire her? Yesterday Donald Trump tweeted at 5:55 in the morning, by the way. For someone who's, like, 75 years old, Donald Trump gets up hella early. After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the United States military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. Now, this seems to be... honestly, one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my whole life, which makes me feel that it is like 100% distraction from something else. Now, I don't know what that something else is. If you listen to the show before, you know that I, while I don't subscribe to all conspiracy theories, I do believe that these conspiracy theories might have a little bit of truth to them. Not all of them, but some. And I feel like distraction and manipulation of your attention is not a conspiracy theory. I feel like that's 100% intentional, and it happens. We do it all the time ourselves in our daily lives. We try to distract people all the time from your intentions if you are a shiesty individual, and which I don't think that there's anyone, even Donald Trump supporters, who wouldn't disagree that Donald Trump is a shiesty individual. Like, whether you think shiestiness is good and or whether you think shiestiness is bad, I feel like we all have to agree that he is some level of shiesty. However much of a distraction it is, there are real people affected by this. And like, I'm never going to go fight in a war for the United States of America. Me being an American citizen, I asked this question to my friend Z about a week ago. Like, what would it take for you to fight in a war for the United States of America? Like, knowing everything that we know. And, like, a real question is, what would it take for Donald Trump to fight in a war for America? Because he's very adamant our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory. However, Donald Trump dodged the draft. And I'm sure he's not the only person in Congress and not the only politician who's dodged the draft. He's not the only. Like, there are a lot of people who dodged the draft. Last year, when Muhammad Ali died, like, one of the one of the big tension points about Muhammad Ali was that when it came for him to be drafted in, like, during the Vietnam War, Muhammad Ali famously said that he's not going to go and fight no Viet Cong when his enemy is in the United States. And he was sent to jail for it. And not only was he sent to jail for it in his prime of his boxing career, but he was ridiculed for it. He was called unpatriotic. But now our president, the ultimate patriot, he dodged the draft. Anyways, but now he's talking about transgender people who can't serve in the military because their burden to the United States defense budget is so great that they shouldn't be allowed. Listen, like, I was curious. So I did a little bit of research. I Googled it. How much does gender reassignment surgeries or anything, or hormones or anything that really affects transgender people, how much does that cost the United States military every year? Now, it on the high estimate, the Rand Corporation estimated that the cost of medical services for transgender individuals is between $2.4 million and $8.4 million dollars of the nearly $6.5 billion medical budget for the military. So keep that in mind, $2.4 million to $8.4 million. In the same study, it goes to talk about how the United States military spends $80 million for Viagra and Cialis. Now, if you don't know what Viagra and Cialis are, those are erectile function drugs. So it what basically Donald Trump is saying, it's 10 times more important, potentially 40 times more important, for us to make sure that our soldiers' dicks are hard than it is to make sure that people who want to fight the war on terrorism and who want to defend our borders are able to do that. Not only able to do that, able to do that and feel comfortable, because like these people who are signing up to go fight in wars for my sake or for the sake of our nation or for whatever you believe that we fight wars for, and we are not allowing them because of a tiny, very minuscule part of this military defense budget. I saw a tweet that Donald Trump retweeted, and it was like, would you rather have this? And it's like a transgender woman or like a fighter jet. And that is the most asinine comparison I've ever heard, because fighter jets cost trillions of dollars. Like, literally, a fighter jet costs so much money. And not only do they cost so much money, I always feel like an expert when I watch Vice documentaries. Like, I would say circa 2012, I used to watch so much Vice that I felt that I was such an expert on foreign affairs that I could watch the ones that they did in the Middle East without the subtitles and have a pretty good understanding of what was going on. This one, I used subtitles. And so I learned that in Afghanistan, we bought fighter jets for the Afghan military, and they didn't have pilots. So we just bought fighter jets, no pilots. And the planes, obviously, rusted out. No pilots, no mechanics. They rusted out. We wasted tons of money on military fighter jets. However, we could have been spending that money on people to get gender reassignment surgeries and hormones so that they could go fight in a war against ISIS and whatever the hell else you're scared of. So if any transgender people are listening to the show, just understand, off the beaten path, we care. I don't think you listen to the show if you don't care, because I try to keep my bias out of it, but it's pretty damn obvious that, like, I think that a lot of it is stupid. Like, it's none of my damn business. Like, if you want to go fight in the war, I don't care if you have two arms. I don't care if you have one arm. I don't care if you are 8 feet tall. I don't care if you are, you know, muscle bound and you look like John Cena. I don't care if it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to put on a uniform, you should be able to put on a uniform. And if this comes down to, you know, some people saying that, like, you know, we're doing this for the protection of transgender people in the military, you know, it's not very far away from the idea when we would not let women serve in the military because we felt we were doing them some type of favor, when in all reality, what we need to do is we need to stop making spaces safe for abusive men. Like, the military shouldn't be a safe space for abusive men. We should be trying to change these types of attitudes so that not only do we have soldiers who are, like, empathetic to their other soldier brethren, but so we just have more understanding people in general. And so as we move into this idea of we need to stop creating spaces for abusive men, last week we didn't get to touch on this R. Kelly story that came out. And it's kind of eerie how quickly that it's really overblown and how it's really almost forgotten about. Like, our news cycle goes, you know, with the internet, it's so fast where we get mad at something for one day, and then somebody will write, like, a think piece, or they'll write an opinion piece on it and do a little bit of investigating the next day, and then it's gone. And it seems everything seems to be following this pattern, and particularly R. Kelly has been involved in this cycle many, many times. And if you didn't know, so last week, it was, I guess, unearthed again that R. Kelly has been, like, having this type of this cult where he lures women and their families into giving up these girls with promises of making it big in music career. First of all, if you don't know who R. Kelly is, R. Kelly is a Grammy-winning musical artist who, like, sadly makes really good music, but he also has a history starting in the early 90s, like, with Aaliyah, when of, like, abusing young women, not just particularly women. He even has a interview with Ture where he says, where Ture is asking him, so, are you attracted to teenage girls? And R. Kelly says, what do you mean? What do you mean by teenage? And you could just see Ture's face being like, in a half a second, you can see that he says, oh shit, I wasn't expecting him to say that. And that's whack, crazy, and I don't really know what to do. But he continued the interview like a professional. But R. Kelly has a history of abuse, where he preys on particularly teenage women. And so last week it came out that, you know, there, like, he's got all these rules. He can't, you know, he doesn't allow them to call their parents. He doesn't allow them to call people they know. They have to use this particular cell phone. He, like, hit a girl for laughing at the driver's joke. It's just so much sick stuff where it just seems as if he's got these sick relationships with women. And the problem is not just like Donald Trump and just like these unnamed individuals who are not able to handle transgender people in the bathrooms or in the military, or not able to not even able to be ogled by a transgender person. We see people get killed nearly weekly, transgender people, for just like, for doing exactly what men do to women. You know, hitting on women in public. And we see transgender people get killed. Like, this is like a real live issue. And so what we have to start doing in public is start checking these individuals. So like checking your friends and checking other men and checking strangers. Because we can't like allow, can't continue to allow these safe spaces to exist for men like that. And so when we see a prominent man, particularly like R. Kelly, who's historically is probably going to go down as one of the greatest R&B artists and songwriters of all time, we can't simply ignore his personal behavior, because it's hard for me particularly. Like, I like R. Kelly's music. I sing I Believe I Can Fly at karaoke. It's hard for me myself, and I need to do a better job of it as well. But we can't continue to, as like a society, to like allow these prominent people particularly to get away with these abuses, particularly because they're talented. Because whether we understand or don't understand, indirectly or directly, that we, when we give R. Kelly the green light and Woody Allen the green light and these other individuals the green light to continue to abuse people, because what we're doing is we really finance abuse when we buy their music or watch their movies or you know, sing their songs, or we, you know, we continue to line these people's pockets so that they can they have the financial, you know, ability to continue this abuse and continue to get away with it unrepentantly. Because if you see, if you've ever read an interview with R. Kelly or Woody Allen or anybody like that, they are unrepentant about how what they're doing is absolutely not wrong, and that's wrong. So if you're an abusive man, listen to this show, or you have friends who you know that say things where you're like, that's a joke, I can't tell if that's a joke. Check your friends and check strangers. Don't be one of those people who sees something and, you know, put your head down and just walk by, like just be a bystander. Because far too often, we hear people talk about, you know, what they would do if that was their sister or mother or aunt or cousin or daughter. And far too often we see that people actually don't do shit and they just sit on their hands. Don't be one of those people. When we get back, we'll be talking about a little bit of the opposite. Some people who are doing too much. Canada's favorite artist. We'll get back.
Rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
A large man wearing green pants grabbed a woman by the hair and slammed her face into the glass window of a fire extinguisher case. He pulled her head back and hit her again, continuing to do so until the glass broke. The woman sustained deep cuts all over her face and eventually became unresponsive. The man then released his grip and she fell to the floor. This is a scene from an Emmy Award-winning cartoon. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like a joke? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
care too much, but it doesn't mean a thing. I don't give a fuck just to cope with the pain. I'd take a bullet for you, I'd jump in front of the train. But when it comes to me, I wonder would you do the same? Trying to find the words, but it's hard to explain. Control how I feel, but it's hard to contain. Walk all over me when we converse. She don't need no comfort, she just wanna come first. There's something about settling that's so unsettling. I'd almost rather not even feel anything. Are these memories even worth remembering? Or am I gonna be wishing I could forget everything? I woke up from a blackout, thinking back how my parents didn't last and they just backed out, and how that affects how I act now. Deal with that every day like fiends in the crack house.
Hold it down for my turf till I'm pushing up daisies and tulips. I'll die for this shit, trade my life for a news clip. I live out my dreams every day, I am lucid. I don't get deluded, I miss the confusion. I stick to the code, see where it goes. The devil, he fiend for a piece of my soul, and I sold it like tunics. Had me stuck for so long, now I'm doing what's best for the movement.
Got me feeling so emotionless. I'm motionless. Don't you see me smoking this? Neck down, paralyzed. Hey, I can see it in your eyes. You got me running in place. Glock 45 to my face. Can't remember your taste. Your lips fucking lace. Motionless, 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 baby got me motionless. Motionless, baby got me motionless. Oh, oh, oh.
You know you got me fucked up. I know you never meant to hurt none. Lot of drugs on the streets nowadays. But girl, that pussy is the worst one. Said some things I never would have said. I did some things I should have never did. Through the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, I'm just trying to keep a level head.
Up in my budget, I just bought a chain, I put that on my mother. They hated before, but now they all love it. Don't know who to fuck with. They scheming, they plotting, they claim me like property. Say they my brother. Show your true colors, you prove I can't trust you. Don't fuck with these bunches, I'm gone.
Baby, how you feeling? What you smoking on? The way I see you moving must be something strong. Trying to get these thoughts out of my fucking head. Don't feel like I'm alive, don't feel like I'm dead. Can't remember the feeling of your skin. All this regret, where do I begin? Baby, trying to see your fucking face again.
Focus, yo, I'm always on the dock. The fact that you ain't looking at me, I'm feeling that.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. Thank you for being with me for the first 50 minutes. As we talk a little bit about some things going on here in the world, we talked a little bit about Donald Trump and his transgender ban. We talked about R. Kelly and the need for us as a society to stop creating these safe spaces for men who are abusive people, particularly men, because as a man, I mean, I see it all the time. This guy is, let's talk about, this is part of the show where we just talk a little bit about some things that I think are interesting and funny and sad at the same time. So yesterday, you know, I'm not from Ohio, but I feel like I'm kind of from Ohio. Like I spent like 9 years of my formative growth in Ohio. Like I grew up in Ohio. Like I was born in D.C. and I grew up in D.C., but I went to university in Ohio and then I like found my adulthood there. At the Ohio State Fair yesterday, one of those rides, you know, the one, it's going to be hard to explain this through the radio, but the one you sit in it and it swings back and forth. And it also, now while it swings back and forth, like the pirate ship, it's not the pirate ship because it also spins at the same time. So it has like the two arms and they both go up and they both spin while they go like around in the air while they swing. That's probably most awful description. However, yesterday, the ride fell apart mid-ride and threw like four people 20 feet in the air, and sadly one of them died. Another reminder to stay the hell off of those fair rides. Like, if you are scared of roller coasters, which I'm not, but I love roller coasters, but like roller coasters are dangerous enough and those things are built to last. The fairs are built to be set up and taken apart pretty quickly. Now, if that's something that you like want to spend your money on, you know, go right ahead. Like, but like that $15 in tickets that you spent on that ride, you could have just like saved like four more rides on that. And you can go to Cedar Point, Ohio, and I guarantee you'll have a way better time. Like when you go to the fair, go to eat the funnel cake, go to eat the elephant ears, go to throw the ball at the dunk tank with the obnoxious, you know, like 50-year-old man who's like pretty racist, and dunk him. And just be satisfied with that. You don't have to get on those rides. You don't have to go in the funhouse. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You don't have to do anything dangerous. You can just have a good time, eat a corn dog, chill. You know, condolences to the individuals who were injured and the individual who died on that ride. It's sad. A lesson. Like, maybe we should just let carnivals go in entirety. I don't know if you guys watch American Horror Story, but after watching American Horror Story Carnival, it'll never be the same for me. I love American Horror Story. Sad thing is that it always ends terrible. Like, it's always a horror story. Like, I sometimes like happy endings in my horror story, so I can't finish them. Moving on to the guy who I think is sad. So, Drake, you may or may not know him as a multi-platinum recording artist from Toronto, who has, you know, made his way to being one of the top rappers in the game. Well, he did something corny again. Like, I don't have a problem with Drake's music. I never have had a problem with Drake's music. I like Drake's music from, you know, from high school. He makes good music. However, he does corny things. Like, he has a tattoo of Aaliyah. The guy never met Aaliyah. It's pretty, very weird because we just talked about a man who married Aaliyah when she was 14 years old. And that's weird too. But this is this new one. He got a tattoo of Lil Wayne on him. Like Lil Wayne, a contemporary, an individual who's still alive. Like, I think getting people's face tattooed on you is weird from the beginning. Like, I just don't understand about, like, the portrait of someone. And why would I want that tattooed on me? My mom. I love my mom. I keep a picture of her in my house. Keep a picture of my brother in my house. Keep a picture of my great-grandmother. Rest in peace. I keep a picture of my family in my house. I'm not getting another man's tattooed on me. I don't even wear jerseys. Because when I was like 16, my older brother was like, are you really going to wear another man's name on your back? You're your own man. And I said, you know what? I am my own man. Haven't worn a jersey since. I lied. That's a lie. I own one jersey. From that day, I had a Kobe Bryant jersey. I had Michael Vick jersey. I had all of these jerseys of people who I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep that. But the one jersey I didn't get rid of was my Michael Jordan jersey. Because, like, he's Michael Jordan. He's basketball Teddy Roosevelt. Like, he's the first person on Mount Rushmore. Or is that George Washington? I don't know. George Washington owned slaves, so I don't consider him. I would never wear a George Washington jersey. However, this is not about me. It's about Drake getting a Lil Wayne tattoo, which I feel like we can all agree that that's corny as hell. And so if you look on Complex Magazine, you will understand that Drake has nothing but corny tattoos. He has a Drakkar Noir tattoo. He's got a tattoo of Sade. I mean, Sade's sick, but, like, why would you get a tattoo of her? So just add this to another checklist of corny things that Drake has done. For the last news, if you are worried about the inmate who escaped from Rikers Island, he has been caught. He has been caught about 4 hours later after he was announced missing, and he was caught on Rikers Island because they shut the island down, so there's really nowhere you can go. It's not like you can swim. It's water's cold. I think it's fascinating that people are still breaking out of prison. Like, he didn't get out of prison. Like, he didn't get away. But prison breaks happen to be, like, one of the most fascinating things. I think it's, like, as a society, we are fascinated with prison breaks. People would normally be scared. But I remember just a few years ago when they had those two guys who got away, and they were on a run for a pretty long time. I think it was like a few days. It's like, with the high-tech security, with the amount of technology that we have, with the amount of technology that we, like, keep from the prisoners, we don't even allow them schools and libraries in there anymore. It's pretty amazing that people are still able to find ways to get out of prison. So anybody who can get out of prison, I feel like deserves to be free. Like, if you can put that much like mental energy into getting free, like, you deserve it. You know what? Maybe we should start a program where, like, if you can prove you're smart enough to get out of prison, we can probably find you a job someplace. But thank you all. That is my time. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8. Like I said, you can check us out, check me out on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath or citr.com/offthebeatenpath or facebook.com/offthebeatenpath, where all of the episodes are podcasted, and you'll be able to see the playlist. We had some Prado with Likeline, and she's a Vancouver artist who's coming up, so be on the lookout. You guys have a great weekend.